more than 20 years ago, on the 27th of February in the year 1991, there was a war going on in the Middle East referred to as Desert Storm. Some of you will remember that, and some of you may be rather young to remember that. But at that time, at the height of Desert Storm, a lady by the name of Ruth Dillow received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and had died. Ruth Dillow later wrote, "For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days, people tried to comfort me, to no avail, because the loss was so great." 3 days after she received the message, her telephone rang. And the voice on the other side said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." Rosillo said, "I couldn't believe it at first. But then I recognized the voice, and he really was alive. The message that he had received was all a mistake." She said, "I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels, because my son, whom I had thought was dead, was really alive. I'm sure none of you can even begin to understand how I felt." Well, perhaps not. Perhaps we would not be able to understand how she felt. But some who walked the pages of the New Testament would have understood how she felt, because they experienced the same emotions themselves. One day, they watched Jesus being nailed to a cross. They watched as his body was taken from the cross and buried. Friday and all day Saturday they mourned. Until finally, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, the scripture says, some women made their way along the path that led to his tomb, wondering who would roll away the stone for them. But when they arrived, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. And an angel there told them, "I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." He is risen, as he said. And that is what we celebrate today. Christ is risen. As we look at the passage that we have read in Mark chapter 16, I would like to draw your attention first of all to the first two verses. And we see here the power of love for Christ. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Let's stop here. You know the power of love for Christ. And I must say that some of the thoughts that I'm sharing here with you come from Bishop J.C. Ryle, a bishop of the Church of England in the 19th century. But we see here Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome. Notice what they did. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. That means it was still dark. We may well believe that it required no small courage for these ladies to do that. to visit a grave in the dim twilight of an eastern daybreak would try most women. And that is under normal circumstances. But to visit the grave of one who had been put to death as a common criminal, to rise early to show honor to one whom their nation had despised, this was a mighty boldness indeed. And yet, these are the kind of acts which show the difference between weak faith and strong faith, between a weak feeling and strong feelings towards Christ. These holy women have tasted of our Lord's pardoning mercy. Mary Magdalene, we're told, our Lord cast out 7 demons. But you know, their hearts are full of gratitude to Him for life and hope and comfort and peace. They were willing to risk all consequences in testifying their affection to their Savior. And so they went early, when it was still dark. They left their homes and made their way to the sepulcher. But think about this. Why is it that we see so little of this strong love to Christ among Christians today? There is such a difference. They sometimes talk about C and E Christians. They come to church at Christmas and Easter. And that's about the only time you see them. Why is it that there is not the great love that we see with these women? They didn't sleep in. They rose up early when it was still dark to make their way to the sepulcher. How is it that we so seldom meet with believers who will face any danger and go through fire and water for Christ's sake? And there really is only one answer to that. You know, with the women, we saw the distinction between weak faith and strong faith. And it is that so often what we see today is a weak faith. And we see a low sense of obligation to Christ. And this is what is so common today. Now, this goes back to something else. And that is that a low and a feeble sense of sin will always produce a low and feeble sense of the value of salvation. What do we think of sin? And it is true. Today, many people think very lightly of sin. Everybody does it. I'm not so bad. Look at him. Look at her. Oh, that is really a terrible sin. Yeah, Christ died for sinners like that, but you know, I'm not so bad. Never murdered anybody. Never robbed a bank. I'm kind to animals. I'm okay. That's the attitude. A low view of sin. But we need to see sin as God sees it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. God sees sin as something very serious. But today, we have a light view of sin. And a slight sense of our debt to God will always be attended by a slight sense of what we owe for our redemption. We're not so bad. Yeah, sure, Christ saved me, but you know, he didn't have a lot to say because I'm not so bad. It is the man who feels much forgiven who loves much. That's what we see with Mary Magdalene. The Lord forgave her much, and she loved much. Jesus himself says this, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That's the words of our Lord himself. If you have little sin forgiven, well, then you love him a little. But if you realize the heinousness of sin, you realize how bad sin is in the sight of God, we will have a greater understanding of this. And we will have a greater love for our Lord. These women, they love the Lord. You know, some of us were talking about a sunrise service. Some churches do. Most of the churches in Singapore, sunrise service. And I wonder if we had a sunrise service, 6:30 on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock maybe, how many would be there? Think about it. And I remember the days in Singapore when all our BC churches together would go to McRitchie Reservoir. 1,000 people there. But today, well, apart from the fact that the churches have their own sunrise service, I wonder if we would have a sunrise service, how many would show up? Oh, my bed is so comfortable. It's cold outside. You know, Hope Church, when we were there, they usually have a sunrise service at their Bible camp. And 9 out of 10 times there will rain during the sunrise service. So we usually just have it indoors, you know. But whether you have it indoors or outdoors, would you be there? Do you love the Lord that much that you can get out of bed early? The women did. They got up early. They knew what the Lord had done for them. And so they got up. But it was still dark at the rising of the sun. You know, it says they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. That means they left their houses considerably before then. And it means obviously they got up before then too. Do you love the Lord? Do you show it? Thank God you're here. We have more people here today than we do on a normal Sunday. Praise the Lord for that. Will we see you again next week? And I know some of you know because you'll be away. That I understand. But otherwise, will we be here? See the great love that these women have for the Lord. May you and I have that kind of love for the Lord. But we must go on. There's more that I want to see in this passage. Because secondly, if we look at verses 3 and 4, the difficulties that we fear will sometimes disappear as we approach them. Here are these women on their way to the sepulchre, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Help! There's a big stone rolled in front of that tomb. We're not strong enough to remove it. Who's going to help us? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. These holy women, as they walked to our Lord's grave, were full of fears about the stone at the door. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? But their fears were needless. Their expected trouble was found not to exist. Because when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. And you know, if you look at that, how similar is that experience to what many Christians today experience. How often believers are oppressed. They're cast down by anticipation of evils, difficulties, sickness. And yet, in the time of need, they find that the thing they feared was removed, as it were, the stone was rolled away. You know, a large proportion of our anxieties arise from things which never really happened. I've said this before. Worry doubles trouble. We worry, will I get sick? We worry, will the plane crash? We worry, will we have a car? And we worry, worry, worry. And nothing happens. Useless worry. And if it does happen, well, you could have worried about it at that point. You didn't have to worry about it twice. Just once is quite sufficient. You know, we look forward to all the possibilities of the journey towards heaven. We're looking forward to that. One day, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'll see Him face to face. I have asked Him to forgive my sins. I know He shed His precious blood for me. I know God's love to me. You know, we look forward to that day when we shall be with the Lord forever. But when it comes to life on earth, we imagine all kinds of crosses and obstacles. We carry mentally tomorrow's troubles as well as today's. Remember what Jesus said? Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. But don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Today, you worry about today. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't say, Lord, give us tomorrow our daily bread. No, tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Tomorrow you can pray again. But don't today worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, as you know, never comes. Well, very often we find that our doubts, our worries were groundless. And the thing that we dreaded most never came to pass at all. So let us pray for a more practical faith. Let us believe that in the path of duty we shall never be entirely forsaken. Because remember, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll be with us always. Let's go forward boldly. And we shall often find that the lion in the way. Oh, there's a lion in the way. Proverbs, remember? There's a lion in the way. Oh, it can't go. There's a lion in the way. And we'll find that the lion is chained and is not able to reach us. And the seeming hedge of thorns is only a shadow. We need not fear. We need not worry. The winner. Oh, who's going to roll away the stone? But when they got there, it was rolled away already. And many of the things that we worry about never happen. Well, some may happen. True. But let the Lord take care of them at that time. No need to worry about them now. And then, I would just see one more thing. Verses 5 through 8. And that is the kindness of the Lord towards His backsliding servants. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he says unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Well, we see the kindness of the Lord towards his backsliding servant. The message which the angel conveys is a striking illustration of that truth. Here they were, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. They were told to tell the disciples that Jesus goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. But the message is not directed specifically to the 11 apostles, but notice that Peter is mentioned here specifically. Tell his disciples, and Peter. Peter, remember Peter? Lord, even if all deny you, I will not. Oh, you're one of his disciples? No, not me, not me. Oh, your speech gives you away. You speak. No, I don't know him. 3 times, Peter denied our Lord. And when the cock crowed, Peter remembered the words of our Lord. And he wept bitterly. Peter's relationship with the Lord. How sad. Will the Lord still care for me? Or since I've denied him, will he now cast me out? Peter, you're a lost cause. I don't want anything more to do with you. No. Tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, who had sinned particularly, is singled out and noticed particularly. There are to be no exceptions in God's grace. All were to be pardoned. All were to be restored to favor. Because remember, they all left Jesus. When he was arrested in that garden, they all ran away. Mark tells us about a young man. They grabbed his clothes, and he took off his clothes, and he ran away naked. I believe that this was John Mark himself. Disciples all left. Peter denied him. But our Lord said, no, I want to meet with my disciples. I'm going into Galilee. I want to meet with my disciples there. I want to see Simon Peter as well as the rest. You know, if you think about it, this is not the way people normally act. We would be inclined to say, hey, you've had your chance, you blew it, that's it, sorry. But not our Lord. On no point, perhaps, are our views of religion so narrow, so low, so contracted, as on the point of God's exceeding willingness to pardon innocent sinners. We think of our Lord as such a one as ourselves. That's what we would do. Oh, you've had your chance. But that's not the way our Lord is. He delighteth in mercy, as we read in Micah. If Christ is so ready to forgive us, to take even Peter back, we ought to be ready to forgive others as well. Think of the kindness of the Lord towards his backsliding servants. You know, there's a lot in this passage. As we see the love of the women for our Lord, as we see how the difficulties that we fear will sometimes disappear as we approach them, as we see the kindness of our Lord towards his backsliding servants. But I want to come back a moment to that empty tomb. There was once a young boy by the name of Harold. He had a lot of health problems. He was diagnosed with a very bad case of attention deficit disorder. Seems that everybody has it these days. That seems to be the in disease for children, at least in the United States. I think too many are being diagnosed with ADHD. Now give them the retina. You know, give them that. Well, this boy was diagnosed with a bad case. He did go to church, went to Sunday school, and on Palm Sunday, Harold's Sunday school teacher sent empty plastic eggs home with each of her students. And the teacher, Mrs. Wilson, told them to bring something back in the eggs next Sunday to represent Easter. Now, she didn't really expect Harold to bring anything because he never really listened in class. Well, the next Sunday, children all brought their eggs back. A girl by the name of Susan had a pretty spring flower inside her egg. Joey had a little cross in his egg. Jackie had put a plastic butterfly in her egg. But just as Mrs. Wilson suspected, there was nothing in Harold's egg. Actually, she was surprised that he even remembered to bring it back. She had praised all of the children for what they brought, but she didn't say anything about Harold's empty egg. Harold looked at her with anticipation. He said, "Mrs. Wilson, you didn't say anything about my egg." Mrs. Wilson said, "But Harold, you don't have any reminder of Easter in your egg." And Harold replied, "Huh? It's empty. Just like Jesus too. Praise the Lord. Christ is risen. And the tomb is empty." Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Christ is risen indeed, that the tomb is empty. Father, may we see that Christ is risen, that He died for our sins on the cross. But if He had only died and not risen, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. But it is because He rose from the dead that His death can do its work in our lives. It's only because He rose again from the dead that we can be saved and look forward to life eternal with Thee in heaven. Lord, we pray for each one here today that we might all see that Christ died for our sins, that He shed His precious blood for our sins, that He rose again, that He is alive today, that He lives. And Father, if there be any here today, one or two or more, that have not yet come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that even right now they may confess their sins to You and cry out, "Lord Jesus, save me." Father, we thank You that You have promised that if we do that, you will indeed save us from our sins, so that one day, when you call us, we can go to heaven to spend eternity there with you. Oh Lord, help us to believe in Christ, who is risen from the dead, as we know, because the tomb is empty. We thank you, Father, that Jesus lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.